Yeah, you really never know. In your own life, you never really know. You're just driving along, talking about all kinds of different things, and next thing you know, you're upside down, with glass all around you. But God is certainly was watching out over all the people. The lady in the other car was fine. But when you see the cars, you're wondering why. But our God is great, and we are certainly thankful, and we're thankful for your prayers, because they really do make a difference. One of the things that I thought about, and it's a line that evangelists used to use, if you were to die in the next 5 minutes, do you know if you'd go to heaven or not? Well, you don't have a lot of time to think when those things come, and we weren't expecting anything. We just were driving down, coming back from having a great visit with Lyndall and Roy. And next thing you know, we're in a serious situation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the day. Don't wait, because you never know when those things are going to happen. I want to challenge you this morning in the area of how you live your life as a believer. God has given us power to live that life, and do we avail ourselves to it? Now, when you talk about power, some people are looking for something that they feel. I have to feel some kind of power. But it's more than that. It goes beyond that. This challenge is to really think and meditate on the power of Christ. I'm reading out a verse out of chapter 8 of Romans. And just as a takeoff point, we're going to pursue this line through the scripture and how to access this power. And what it says in verse 11 of chapter 8, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells in you." Not talking about the resurrection at the end of time. It's talking about the resurrection when you became saved. And that's what we want to look at. Because the power of the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. And if that isn't power, what does that mean, and how does that affect us? I think of that verse, I start meditating on it, and it's just a wonder that what in the world did God actually do when I trusted Him as Savior? So what I want you to do is go to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to pursue this, and I'll wind up back in Romans. But Philippians chapter 3, Paul is talking about all the things he counts loss for the sake of Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is a real challenging passage. Open not only my heart, my eyes, my mind, my soul to this truth, but open all our hearts and minds and souls to this truth. It's very, very powerful, and it's a necessity, and you have made it happen. Help us to avail ourselves as we live our daily lives out of a love for you that surpasses all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul is saying this, verse 8. "More than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Stop right there. Count all things loss for the surpassing value. What's the surpassing value? When that's stated in that context, it's everything. Have you found the surpassing value of knowing Christ in your life yet? You really experience that. It's not just, okay, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my sins are forgiven, I'm on my way to heaven. Do I know the surpassing value of Jesus Christ? It goes way beyond guaranteeing your place in heaven. It's how you live your life. And we need that power to live a life to God. Notice what he continues to say. He says, "I have that I may be found in him," verse 9, "not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. That I may know Him," there it is again, "the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to his death. Well, what in the world does that mean? And then we need to look at that a little closer. In order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. What is he talking about? What is this resurrection from the dead? Surpassing value of knowing Christ has not only to do with salvation, but it has to do with living the abundant life, the eternal life, the life of Christ. Now, if we flip over to Ephesians, Paul prays for this very thing in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you'll know what the hope of his calling is, what there are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing, there it is again, surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe, that these are in accordance with the working of his strength and his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, his right hand in heavenly places. You know, Paul's praying three things there that he may know the hope of our calling. The hope of our calling is understanding that one day, through the power of the Spirit working through the Word of God, we will be conformed to the image of Christ. That is a great thing. Do we even understand that? We know it's good, but do we understand it fully? That every day, that everything God brings into our life is designed to conform us to the image of His Son, that one day we will stand in glory with Him. That's wonderful stuff, but we need to really think about it. Then what is the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints? We need to understand how important we are to God. Do we realize that? Or as we live our lives and we're having a bad day, God doesn't care. God doesn't care. God doesn't even know I exist. But He bought and paid for us by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. He has an inheritance into us. Do we realize what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in us are? What is that? What does Christ get out of the deal? In other words, He gets a people that He calls His own. Not only that, but He also redeems the whole entire creation. It's all part of it. We need to think about the privilege we have to be the inheritance of God, all made possible by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that took power to do that. That didn't just happen. It took power. When you go to funerals, you're not expecting that body to wake up because you realize we don't have that kind of power to make that even come close to happening. But God does. So Paul prays at his third thing he wants, the eyes of our heart, our understanding, is to know this great power by which he raised Christ from the dead. Verse of chapter 2 says, when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's the connection we were. We think of dead, we think too much in the physical. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. There was no life in us. We had a problem. We couldn't save ourselves. We were dead in our trespasses in sin. But notice as you read down through there, I want to look at 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. There's a lot in there. But there's that word surpassing is in there again. The surpassing value of knowing Christ. The surpassing riches of His grace in Christ. But by that same power that raised Christ physically from the dead and raised Him up with a glorified body, one that was not subject to aging or decaying, that He will spend eternity in, He does the same for us. But He's connecting it now with our salvation. We were dead in our, while we were being dead in trespasses and sins and going the opposite way from God, at the same time, He was being rich in mercy with that great love which He loved us. And what did He do with it? He made us alive in Christ. He raised us up with Christ, and He seated us with Christ in heavenly places. That took the power of the resurrection to do that. Now, we want to look at this a little closer. Go to chapter 6 of Romans. And this is where we zero in on this. This is the mechanics of our salvation. The problem of our salvation, for us, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We were not made alive in Christ and resurrected by the power of the risen Christ to live a life of ungodliness. That's not what we were raised for. We were raised to become conformed to the image of Christ and to live like Christ. To understand the powerful love of God and be affected by that. I do the things I do because I love God. That's our idea. I want to show and express my love for God. But that can't be possible unless we know the depth of forgiveness which God has for us. How much did He love us? He loved us while we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And the only solution to that was to fill us with the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ. And so Romans chapter 6 is going to deal with that, and this is what we're looking at. What shall we say then, verse 1? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? We are not saved so that we can continue in sin so grace can continue. That's not the point. If Jesus died on the cross for our personal sins, why in the world would we want to continue to add to them? Now, yes, we do still sin. And we have forgiveness. But we dare never to use the grace of God, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, as an excuse to continue to sin. Never. We should hate sin. We should not have anything to do with it. Look at Paul's reaction in verse 2. May it never be. And here's the question. How will we who have died to sin still live in it? If we have trusted Jesus Christ, we have died to sin. Well, how does that work? What's he talking about? He gets into the mechanics. Now pay attention. Now, I'm going to use the word baptize. It is not talking about water. It's talking about immersion. Being totally saturated into Jesus Christ. A water baptism is just a picture of that. It does not save you. It does not change you. It's a visual picture, illustration of the power, what we're going to talk about. But it does not do it. So the word baptizo, it is in the Greek, it was just transliterated by the King James translators to mean baptize. And so when they use that term, people automatically think of water. And it's not what it's talking about. It's talking about unified with Christ. Now listen to this. Or do you not know? Notice there's some information that has to be gained here. Do you not know that all of us who have been immersed, completely, totally saturated into Jesus Christ, have been totally immersed and unified with His death? Now I added to that, but the point is, we are 100% immersed into Jesus Christ. Have you ever been immersed into something where nothing distracts you? You're focused, you're totally immersed in it, and you're really focused on it. You're really unified. You become one with whatever you're doing. This is something we become one with Jesus Christ. 100, not half of us, not 9/10 of us. Everything, all of us completely have been unified with Jesus Christ. And in this case, it starts off, we have been unified into His death. Now keep in mind, this is the pathway of the mechanics of your salvation. You cannot be saved without this process. So this power has unified us with the death of Christ. Notice verse 4. Therefore we have been buried with Him through this immersion into death, so that Christ, who was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so that we too might walk in the newness of life. What step came first? The uniting us with Christ, being totally immersed in Christ, totally dipped into Christ, totally, completely saturated in Jesus Christ and in His death. And because of that, we were raised up with Christ. And what kind of life are we walk in? The newness of life. That's where we're going. I want to walk in a new life. Before I got saved, I was in college. I was walking this kind of life. And what I needed to walk was this kind of life. And there's only one way that was going to happen. That was going to happen by the work of the Holy Spirit to immerse me and unify me completely with Jesus Christ in His death, in His burial, in His resurrection. Or I would not have ever been saved. That had to happen. Now, I couldn't do that. I had no power of the resurrection in me. I had nothing. I was dead in my sins and my trespasses. But God had this power. And now because we engage, we have been buried with Him. Notice the unity. It takes us with the dying, it takes us with the burying, and it takes us with the resurrection. And it's 100% complete. It wasn't part dying, part resurrecting, part burying, part resurrecting. It was the whole thing. To be completely saturated with Jesus Christ. That is why the word baptizo, Greek word, is used, because it means totally, completely immersed into something. It was a whole, total. We talk about Jesus Christ making us completely whole. This is the process. We had to wholly be immersed into Jesus Christ and into His death, into His burial, and into His resurrection. So that we have an ability and a power by that resurrection to live in the newness of life. This is why Paul considered it so desirable to know the power of the resurrection of Christ, because you need the power of the resurrected Christ to live in the newness of life, to live a life pleasing to God. So what, as we continue on here, now in verse 5, we're not going to use the word immerse anymore, we're going to switch it. For we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death. Certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. He's fortifying what He just said. If we are united with Him in the likeness of His death, we certainly, emphasize certainly, also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. What was the likeness of His resurrection? We have a Christ who was on the cross of Calvary, who took our sins on Him, and He was put to death by the unrighteousness, wickedness of man. And there He was, all alone, dying in our place, taking the punishment we deserve. And that body racked with sin and racked with death and dying. And when He was resurrected, it was a new life. It was a new body. It was a new eternal life thing. Now, certainly, there are pictures of the resurrected body when we die and Christ calls and we're resurrected. We're not talking, that's all part of it too, but we're focusing on the resurrection to walk in the newness of life. That's what we want. Notice this, here it comes, this is another thing. Knowing, that's that knowing. This is the old self, or old man, was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we are no longer slaves to sin. When we are dead in sin, we are slaves to sin. That's our default setting. We would always serve self. Now, sin, when you look at it, I know you think of a lot of things, but I always say this. It's anything that breaks a relationship is sin. Just go through the Word of God. Why did God make those rules and laws? To protect relationships. Why are relationships important to God? Because the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if that's the most important commandment, what do you think sin's going to be? Anything that destroys relationships. And if you whittle it all down, it's flat out selfishness. I got to have my way. I got to do my thing. Selfishness. Think about what hurts your relationship. And this is why, you know who we hurt with sin? Is the ones closest to us. Those relationships that we have that are close, sometimes we take advantage of and we just hurt that person. And I think we've all been there. We've been hurt by people. Stranger hurts us, that's one thing. We're not connected to that person. Person whom we love hurts us, and we feel it. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. You know, God grieves. He feels bad too. We can grieve the Holy Spirit when we sin, when we hurt each other. We will know we are Christians by our love for one another. Do we love one another like we should? Are we reaching out to one another? I know we can. I can speak for Don and Mike. We felt that love from you guys over this past week, and we'll continue to feel that. We have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of a resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified in him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. We have been set free. We sang it, and death was arrested. That's exactly what we're talking about. We're free, free. Yes, we're free. We don't have to sin. We still do, but we don't have to. We're not locked into it. It's not a default behavior. We don't have to be selfish. We don't have to have it our way. This is what's known in is the sin nature. I know people say use the sin nature as an excuse for sin. This old sin nature has been destroyed. We live in the flesh, and if you determine the sin nature and the flesh are the same, then you'll have the same thing. But flesh is flesh. Sin nature was the slavery of the flesh to this body of sin. It tells us the body of sin has been done away with through that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Notice verse 7. For he who has died is free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live. See the life aspect? Dying to old self, dying to old man, dying with Christ, and what's the result? Living with Christ, raised with Christ, newness of life. God is the God of life, and he's restructuring in us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Notice the word master. Sin doesn't have to master us. It does, and it can, but it doesn't have to. If you walk by the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, Galatians say, you will not never, there's a double negative used there, you will not never carry out the desires of the flesh. That's a command. So what is our response? To live and walk by the Spirit. Well, how do we do that? Each and every day, we have to surrender ourselves to the Spirit of God. And we have to be like Paul talking about. Lord, teach me. Give me understanding. The eyes of my heart need to be lifted up to understand this power of the resurrected Christ that lives in me. I got to know what that is. I have to desire. I'm not going to live my Christian life just by default. I want to live my life aggressively and proactively, but it starts with surrendering myself to God. Jesus Christ said, I can do nothing on my own. I can only do the things I see the Father doing. But the Father shows me all things that he's doing because he loves me. Are we giving God a chance to show us what he's doing? That's the surrendered Christ. He says, I can only speak the words. I can do nothing on my own initiative. I can only speak the words the Father has taught me. Are we listening to what the Father is trying to teach us through his word? Surrender is the key to tap into the power of the resurrection. It's happened to us at salvation, and it didn't go away because it not only was necessary to make us alive, it was necessary for us to have to empower us to love like God loves, to forgive like God forgives, to love one another like God loves us. So he says, this is an interesting verse, verse 10. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. Christ doesn't have to be crucified every day. He's it. He's done it. He's paid for it. Remember on the cross he said, it is finished. What do you mean? He did it all. So what do we have to do? Throw ourselves at the mercy of God and trust him as our Savior. And we can have access to the power of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he says this, for the death that he died for sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Jesus right now is continuing to live to God. God is Father. I know it's hard to understand with the Trinity thing. We're not denying the Trinity. So what's he say to us in verse 11? Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So summing this all up, Paul had this overwhelming desire. He was ready to count everything but loss. How much are we willing to sacrifice for God? Do you ever think about that? I'll give a little bit over here. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your life and your activities in your life. How much are we willing? Paul was willing to give up everything. You read that list, that was a huge list. It was everything in a man's life for the surpassing value of knowing Christ. I want to know what that is. I've got to pursue God each and every day. He will show it to us. If we seek God, we will find God when we seek God with all our heart. I want to know the surpassing value of Jesus, of knowing Jesus Christ in my life. I want to know that. Well, I'm going to have to pursue that. Why would we think that that would be an easy thing? Oh, God, show me the surpassing value of you in my life, and that's it. There's so many things that hinder our walk with Christ. We need to put them all aside, set them away, and have this desire that Paul was demonstrated we needed to have to know the surpassing value of Jesus Christ, to know the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. Those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Suffer persecution. I want to know the power of the resurrection. I want to know how to live my life by that power. I got to pursue God. So he has a desire for it. In Ephesians, he prays for it. Do we have a desire? Are we praying for it? Because it's vitally important. Because when we read Romans 6, we find out how in the world was I saved. That's the mechanics. When you said, Lord, I'm a sinner, save me from my sin, give me a new life, what happened? The Spirit of God linked you inseparably, 100% completely, into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ so that we can walk in the newness of life. The old man has been crucified with Christ. So we've been set free to live a life for God. And until that happens, you can't live a life for God. We need to understand that. Our works can't save us because they can't do that. There's no power of resurrection in our works. How are they going to do anything? They can't. They don't have that kind of power. They can be a fruit. They are a fruit of the resurrected life in Christ. But they themselves can't do it. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. We needed the power of the resurrected Christ in us to make us alive to God, to live for God. Now, I know this isn't anything new. And so he eventually says this. Verse 13. Or he says in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its lust. You know, you can't. A person who doesn't know Christ can't say that. They don't have that power to ward that off. But you have the power of the resurrected Christ in you. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't have to let sin reign in your mortal body. And then he says this, and do not go on presenting your members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, there's that resurrection concept, and your members as instruments of righteousness for God. Live for God. If you've been a Christian for a long time, and maybe your life isn't what it needs to be, and we all go through those stages, remember this. The power of the resurrection of Christ, that Spirit lives in you so you don't have to. And you can offer yourself. That word offer, present yourself, is what a priest did when he took an offering to God. Offering yourself as a living sacrifice, Paul uses Romans 12. I'm a living sacrifice to God. God, I want to know you. I want to know the surpassing value of knowing you. I want to know the power of the resurrected Christ in me so I can live a life that's pleasing to you, that I can tap into the abundant life, that I can tap into the abundant joy, I can tap into eternal life. Because that's the only way you can understand it, is through this. And this part of it is the knowledge of God that we have to know. So as you go through this whole thing, and it's challenging, there's a lot of life death going on. There's not much middle ground in there. So I challenge myself, and I challenge you, that we will pray and seek out what this power of resurrection is. Because it's essential. It's there, and are we living? Are we filled with the fullness of God through the power of the resurrected Christ living in us? Paul says, it is not I who live, but Christ lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's not I who lives, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is the result of God giving himself for me, so that the life of Christ can live in me, and I can bring glory to God in what I say and what I do. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is a challenge for all of us. It's a daily challenge. It's not a one-time thing. We constantly need to pursue you and the surpassing value of knowing that reality actually comes true in our life. It'll make us an effective witness. It'll make us effective in service. We need to come to that surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, the power of the resurrection. It's there. It saved us. It's there challenging us to tap into that power to live a life for Christ that is surpassing. So I pray, Father, for the believers here that they will read through the Scripture in Romans chapter 6. Pray through the Scripture in Romans chapter 6. And begin to understand how in the world we were saved and what we were saved for. You said you'd take out that heart of stone. You've done that. And you replace it with a heart of flesh. You've done that. And you put your spirit within you. And you've done that. And the result is obedience, our obedience to you and your word. Help us to understand that. Empower us. Let us know that truth. And if you're here today and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are all sinners, every one of us. We have violated God's law. And what we need to do is avail ourselves to Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Fall on our faces, confess our sin, ask Jesus to save you. For whosoever calls upon your name shall be saved. Can we call upon that name and be saved? Yes, because Jesus Christ is powerful. His arm is not too short. He can save. We need to reach out for him. So if you're here today and you don't know Christ, reach out. He will save you. Thank you again, Lord, for your wonderful blessings in Christ Jesus. May we leave here changed people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Father, this is a great day you've given us. We've been here, fellowshipping together and worshiping together. I pray that we go now in the power of the resurrected Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and good morning.